Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Comedian Colin Quinn has had a long career on stage and screen, from the New York comedy clubs to the early days of MTV to a five-year run on Saturday Night Live. In addition to his many comedy specials, Quinn hosted Tough Crowd on Comedy Central and has appeared in films like A Night at the Roxbury, Grown Ups, and Grown Ups 2, in addition to a stint on HBO's Girls. Quinn has also shown an affinity for the one-man show, dating back to 1994's Sanctifying Grace. More recently, his Broadway show Colin Quinn, Long Story Short, directed by Jerry Seinfeld, was nominated for a Drama Desk Award and later an Emmy when it ran as an HBO special. His newest show is Unconstitutional, and fresh from an off-Broadway run, it stops at the Egg in Albany November 16th as part of the 13 Colonies tour. And Colin Quinn, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Ian.
Were you always a history buff?
I always liked history in a way. I mean, I was never a buff. Like, I didn't go to Civil War reenactments or anything like that. Actually, did they have Revolutionary War? I would have gone to one of those, maybe.
Why do you like the Revolutionary War more than the Civil War?
Because I just like that time period now that I'm into the Constitution, now that I became a Constitution nerd in the past year. Before that, I never even thought about the Constitution. I used to hate the whole colonial look. But now I'm, like, totally into it because I feel like, wow, these were, like, idea guys, you know?
Well, it's not exactly, like, the best showbiz move to get enmeshed in the Revolutionary War period. What drew you to it in the first place?
Probably just that, because I like to go with the worst possible move at all times. And, just because I was thinking about the Constitution, because everybody always talks about it, and it's kind of what made us the way we are as people, like our personalities as Americans, you know?
Was there anything in there that surprised you once you read it? Because I think a lot of people have probably never read it.
Yeah, well, it surprised me, first of all, when I read it, that it's four pages. That was the first surprise. And then I was surprised that it was, like, so cynical in a good way, you know, that it was just basically saying, look, I don't trust you. If you trust me, you're an idiot. This is how it's going to be, you know. Anybody gets any power, I was surprised that, like, the universality of the human nature part, where it was like, look, we all know everybody's going to get away with whatever they get away with, so let's make sure we don't let anybody get away with anything, you know?
You make the point that fast forward 200 years plus, this maybe isn't what they had in mind. Is that true?
No. I mean, in a way, it is what they had in mind. The fact that our system doesn't work means it's working, I guess, to them. But, I mean, I'm sure they'd be horrified by, like, the fact that we don't really respect, like, the most intelligent, I don't even know who the most intelligent people would be in this country anyway. I don't even know who the people, if we put certain people in charge that were brilliant. And I think it's just the fact that it became like a job, like a full-time job forever to be in Congress, whereas they had it more like, hey, you know, you're a big statesman, you're a wealthy landowner, you go do Congress for 4 years as national service, then you get back out, you know?
Was there a time where you respected politicians more than you do at this point? I mean, has it gotten worse?
Well, I think that it's hard to tell, because our culture, too, is that we automatically degrade every politician. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, politicians, they're liars. Politicians, they're phonies. So it's like, what kind of good person would not respond to that by either not going into politics or just going, okay, you guys think I'm a liar and a phony, that's what I'll be. You know what I mean? You just think I'll just look out for myself. Nobody respects me anyway. So it's kind of a weird, we have a weird relationship with politicians. They're responsible and we're responsible too. People don't ever take responsibility for our side of it too, which is the people disrespect people, and then that's going to create a thing too, you know?
Here at WAMC, we just ran a series on voter engagement, and most people were left scratching their heads because in the average election, even in a presidential year, half the people don't show up. So do you feel like this branch of comedy, this one-man show, necessarily might leave out a lot of people who aren't engaged in their politics?
It's not like I'm a marketing genius. I never even think in those terms, but, you know, like, what the hell? I mean, you know, you never, like, I mean, comedy, you can't really think of, like, oh, is the audience going to be involved? It's like, you know, you have to just do what you think is funny, right? I mean, just like you can't pander to everybody, but also I think I feel like this is the kind of show that probably is for people to understand things a little easier. You know what I mean? Like, probably really involved people that really are constitutional experts would be like, well, that show doesn't cover that, you know, as much as it should. And people that don't know the Constitution say, oh, wow, now I'm interested in looking at it, maybe, you know.
Did you have a favorite founding father?
Yeah, I mean, this is how nerdy I've become. I really do now. Believe me, 2 years ago I would have said, what? Now I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite is this guy, Governor Morris, you know, because he was like a brilliant guy. He's the one that wrote the whole preamble and, like, put the Constitution in the order it's in. And he was also, you know, like, you know, a noted pervert like Ben Franklin. I mean, a couple of founding fathers were real perverts, you know. But in those days, you know, they locked the press out anyway, so they couldn't get into the Constitutional Convention. So who knows, you know. But he was the guy that said the Senate should be made up of all the richest people in the country because they're going to be naturally at odds. There's going to be a conflict with them and the government just the way it is. So let's put it out front. And they all just kind of dismissed him as being like, that was too cynical even for the founding fathers. We're like, that's crazy. But that would be a good thing to know that you have a lot of rich interest in your system to acknowledge that. And then so it comes into conflict, but it's all out in the open for everybody.
Do you think Citizens United has kind of accomplished that now?
Citizens United? Who's that?
The Supreme Court ruling that said money's free speech.
No way, but I'm saying, but that's the corporations can count as people. No, I mean, I think that might be the opposite of it in a certain way, because it's not part of the government structure. You know what I mean? So they count as citizens rather than part of the government. This was almost like this was them as the government.
What about a least favorite founding father?
My least favorite founding father, you know, is I guess. Well, I mean. That's it. Nobody's ever asked me that. That's kind of an interesting question. I mean, well, I don't count like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams as founding fathers for this thing because they weren't there, you know. They were in Europe. And then Thomas Jefferson came back barking orders about the Constitution. So, you know, he's starting to get on my nerves as far as for the purposes of my show. He's starting to annoy me. But, I mean, you know, my least favorite founding father. Maybe, I like the abusive ones. You know what I mean? Like, I like the... Elbridge Gerry was this guy from Massachusetts who was a real bull, and like John Jay left early. He was mad and he left. So I kind of like the nasty ones. I mean, I'll say George Washington because everybody loved him the most. So he really annoys me. He was like Derek Jeter, you know. Nobody ever says a bad word about George Washington, and nobody says a bad word about Derek Jeter.
And that's where Colin Quinn fills the void.
Exactly. I'm more like the A-Rod of the Constitution.
I want to ask you about the form here, because you've always been drawn to the one-man show, and I wonder, what's the difference between you going into a club and doing stand-up where you're honing bits and over months, maybe years, it's really drilled down to an essence, and then on the other side, a one-man show?
Well, I mean, because there's two reasons. One is, on the one hand, ideally, you're honing bits, drilling them down, but there's also that other element of drunken idiocy in the clubs a lot of times. And that doesn't help you hone bits. It just lets you cut out anything that doesn't get immediately to, like, you know, whatever will get emit cackles from drunken morons. So you have to, you know what I mean? Like, it's a fine line, stand-up. Like, it's not like 1955 working the club, Lenny Bruce, you know, working his bit out in the smoke-filled room. It's a little bit of like, hey, quick, get the next show in. Finish your drinks, you know. So, I mean, that's the thing with stand-up is sometimes I feel like it doesn't help you cultivate the way it needs to, you know?
So people aren't necessarily getting loaded for your one-man show off-Broadway?
Yes. I mean, they drink during the show, but they're not, it's not like they're not facing each other. Like, if you look at comedy clubs, people are facing, they have it set up, tables, so you're facing another person and drinking. You're not facing the stage. Right away, they you know, it's set up so that you're going to want to chat to the person you're facing. And comment on the act. It's not like a theater where everybody's looking forward, you know. And then, you have to buy two drinks. So you have to talk to the waitress. You can't not talk, or they'll throw you out. So you have to have a little talking there. You have to have some drinking, and you have to have facing each other. So already the dynamic is set up where it's like kind of like encouraging people to talk a little bit, you know.
Fair to say, you like the theater environment much better.
I like theater, or just like if I could do comedy in a German or a Swiss watch factory, that would be ideal.
You haven't done that yet.
No, where everybody just listens to my orders and I just bark out jokes.
What about when you're doing television? Obviously, the audience is a big part of that, and you had your show on Comedy Central and so on. But as you're going through a taping day, the schedule is much different from when you're going once through a one-man show.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I mean, TV, there's a lot of stop and start going on, but I mean, yeah, it's fun because it's got a live element every show. I've been lucky to be on those shows that are live, you know, and yeah, I mean, it's TV is fun because you're like, you know, it's going to live forever. Whereas like stand up and one man shows, you know that moment is great, and you just want to tell the whole world, will you people listen to these people laughing at how great I am? And then it's just gone. But that's part of the charm of it. But at the same time, you're like, I want the whole world to see what just happened here. You know?
Do you think that's why so many comedians off stage have so many issues? Because it's like this great half hour and then a long day till the next one?
Yeah. It's too much. You know, they say idle hands are the devil's workshop. And that's certainly true with comedians, you know? They have too much time in their hands. But I think we came in with certain issues, too. You know, we definitely came in with issues, but I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, you're right. There's a high that comes out where you just want to try to keep that high. People want to keep the same high you felt on stage, but you'll never get it anyway. That high on stage is a special high that you can't repeat no matter how much you do drugs or whatever, but Lord knows people try.
Do you mind if I ask what your issues were going in?
Well, I mean, my issues were, I mean, I had stopped. The reason I came into comedy was because I quit drinking and I felt like I had nothing to do, you know, with my life. I was so bored that I just went, screw it. I loved going out, you know, to bars. So now I was like, so once I got into comedy clubs, I was bartending at the time, and I started doing comedy, and I was like, wow, this is the excitement of, like, going out, only, you know, I'm not going to drink, so I might as well just do this stuff. So it was almost like a, you know, even this show that I'm doing now, the Constitution show, it's about drinking. My show, long story short, is about bar. Like, I relate everything to bars in some sick way. So even these shows, the metaphor is always the bar. I'm a one-trick pony, really.
Was it easy for you in the comedy clubs to then avoid drinking, like, later on?
Yeah. Yeah, because I smoked about 4 packs a day in those days.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
Who smokes more, you or Dave Attell?
Oh, I quit years ago. I quit 20 years ago, Dave Attell.
Yeah, he's still going strong.
Yeah.
Do you have any stops you want to make, like historical visits or sightseeing during your 13 Colonies tour?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Charleston, South Carolina. I went to Philly. I went to all, they have a lot of stuff in both of those places that are really, you know, historical. And I went to both the museums. But I mean, I'm hoping to, you know, I'd like to go to all the battlefields eventually, you know. I would like to see, like, you know, and then find some old musket bullet or something. A musket ball.
Colin Quinn, you might see him out at the Battle of Saratoga grounds while he's here in Albany for Unconstitutional. It's coming up at the Egg, November the 16th, and it's part of his 13 Colonies tour. Of course, Colin Quinn, you can also check out on Twitter, and he has a lot of TV and film appearances as well. Colin Quinn, good luck on the one-man show, and thank you so much for spending some time with us.
See you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.